Good afternoon. We want to begin the Assembly Committee on Communications and Conveyance as a subcommittee because we've noticed the absence of a quorum. Unless there's any objections, I want to first begin by giving Ms. Cam Lager Dove a warm welcome, not only to the legislature, but to this committee. So thank you. You'll be a big, strong voice, and we appreciate that. Mr. Chow, if you're okay with it, we'd like to start as a subcommittee. Absolutely. And I forgot to state that Mr. Orbel Nolte will be absent today.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. AB 1999 would expand the authority of local government to develop public broadband services while preserving net neutrality to ensure the internet remains open and accessible to all Californians. Broadband access is of vital importance to the economic development of communities throughout the state, and local governments are an important partner in ensuring that its benefits are made available to everyone. California law currently authorizes municipal utility districts and public utility districts to operate their own broadband networks, but other forms of independent local government have limited authorities to do so. For example, community service districts can initially provide the service, but have to cede over the authority once the private entity is willing to deploy the service. Restricting local governments from building out their own high-speed networks is counterproductive to closing California's digital divide, especially in rural areas where only 43% of the population has access to broadband in their households, or in areas that have only access to one provider, or where there is a lack of ongoing investment. Now, the idea that local governments ought to play a more active role in building out locally owned broadband networks has also been rekindled by the Federal Communications recent action, the FCC, to repeal net neutrality rules. The former net neutrality rules essentially require internet service providers to offer equal access to all web content without charging consumers for higher quality delivery or giving preferential treatment to certain websites. Now, the repeal was done despite strong opposition from the public. According to a recent poll conducted by the University of Maryland, in just days prior to the repeal, more than 80% of the voters opposed the FCC's plan to repeal its net neutrality rules. As locally owned broadband networks become an alternative for consumers, it should be the state's policy to uphold the tenets of an open internet by requiring adherence to the core principles of net neutrality. This bill, AB 1999, would affirm California's commitment to protecting consumers and also competition since the repeal of the net neutrality rules, while authorizing the expansion of public broadband services. With me today, I have two witnesses, Mr. Chris Mitchell, who is the Director of Community Broadband Networks with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, as well as Ernesto Falcon, who is the Legislative Counsel of the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Chairman.
Typically, we give 5 minutes on each side. There's no opposition, so don't feel pressured to use the 5 minutes. I'll ask for witnesses and support.
Go ahead. Either one of you.
Thank you. I'm Chris Mitchell with the Institute for Local Self-Reliance, where for 12 years we've been the go-to experts on broadband policies for local governments, specifically municipal networks, and more recently cooperative networks. We track more than 600 local governments that are operating their own infrastructure, and we have become experts in both what's made them successful and in the few cases in which there are significant problems, why there were problems, and what to do to correct those. I also am the deputy, or I'm actually the policy director for Next Century Cities, an organization that I helped to found that includes Los Angeles, San Jose, Santa Monica, several other California communities, about 180 communities across the United States. Both of us are in favor of this bill. We're strongly supportive of local rights to be able to make these investments and strongly believe that this is an important piece of the ecosystem to make sure that communities have the internet access that they need to thrive. I wanted to include just a brief note that the ways that city, that local governments, any public unit go about this vary. There are methods that are extremely low risk, in which cities take on very little debt and engage in models that can produce significant economic development gains, as well as other gains for low-income housing and things like that. There are also additional models in which cities provide services directly as though they themselves were a cable or telephone entity. And there are instances in which local governments provide open infrastructure that enable other ISPs to use it to compete. So there are a variety of models to choose from, and we strongly believe that local governments should be able to choose from them freely. Thank you for your time.
I want to interrupt for a second and establish a quorum. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Santiago.
Here.
Albanolte. Bonta. Cervantes. Here. Eduardo Garcia. Holden. Kamalaga Dove. Here. Lowe.
Here.
Mainshine. Mathis.
Here.
Patterson.
Here.
Quicksilver.
Here.
Rodriguez.
We have a quorum. You may continue with witnesses and support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair Santiago, members of the committee. My name is Ernesto Falcone. I'm the legislative counsel for the Electronic Frontier Foundation. I'll keep my remarks brief in the interest of time, but really what it boils down to is today half of all Americans have one choice when it comes to high-speed broadband, and yet 55 communities in America enjoy gigabit networks provided by their local government. I had the pleasure of visiting the world's fastest internet company in Chattanooga, Tennessee, which is run by their local government. It has a fascinating history behind how the community of Chattanooga was neglected by the incumbents and how the city decided to take it upon themselves to provide 21st century broadband access. One of the most interesting things that I learned from my visit there was the one of the leadership team on with EPB, the company of that represents the city, a former AT&T executive noted the reason why that city was never going to see investments in next generation broadband was they were considered by AT&T a tier three city. What is a tier three city? A tier three city is a city that is just not high up in the priority list for the private industry to invest into the future. This is a city of a population of 170,000 people with a median income of $41,000. Dozens of townships and cities in California qualify probably in this tier three status. And with the absence of Google Fiber and Verizon, which have both have terminated their expansions of fiber, we're left with regional players like Sonic in North California and local government engaging in public or public-private partnerships. So with that, EFF fully supports this bill. We believe it's really important for local communities to kind of take the internet into their own hands if they so desire, and this bill would further that cause. So with that, we ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Anthony Tannehill with the California Special Districts Association. We're excited about this measure and thank the author for bringing it forward. Community service districts, which are independent special districts, have a long track record of providing frontline essential services, and this is just a natural progression of that. Anecdotally, I've spoken with some of our members who are very excited about this measure because in more rugged or rural areas, their constituents are being left behind, and this is a great opportunity to explore new routes to closing that gap. And ditto to everything these fine gentlemen said. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional witnesses in support? Any witnesses in opposition? Any questions or questions from committee members? Would you like to close, Mr. Chow?
Oh, absolutely. I want to thank you for your time and appreciate your support.
We have a first. We have a second. Madam Secretary, please call the roll. And this measure does enjoy due pass.
Motion is due pass. Santiago.
Aye.
Santiago, aye. Albanolte. Bonta. Cervantes.
Aye.
Cervantes, aye. Eduardo Garcia. Holden.
Aye.
Holden, aye. Kamalaga Dove.
Aye.
Kamalaga Dove, aye. Lowe.
Aye.
Lowe, aye. Mainshine. Mathis.
No.
Mathis, no. Patterson?
No.
Patterson, no. Quicksilver?
Aye.
Quicksilver, aye. Rodriguez? Manchine?
No.
Manchine, no.
Six to three measures on call.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And we'll leave the roll open for an additional 5 minutes. Lifting the call on AB 1999.
Motion is due pass. Eduardo Garcia. Rodriguez.
Aye.
Rodriguez, aye.
Seven three measures out. We're still leaving the roll open for an additional 3 minutes. Add-ons.
AB 1999, motion is due pass. Bonta?
Aye.
Bonta, aye. Eduardo Garcia?
8-3 measures out. Roll still open. We're lifting the call on add-ons to AB 1999. Nine to three, the measure carries, and we are now adjourning the meeting.